This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Wolves, deer. Wolves and deers are opposites. A wolf is an apex predator. A deer is a dinner, a lunch, and has provided welfare for the people of the United States since the colonial days, massively. It's not for nothing that James Fenimore Cooper named it Deerslayer, a major art once upon a time. However, I welcome now two men who are going to help me understand how a wolf is a necessary part of the environment and what is to be done about the number of deer that have now replenished themselves across the United States, especially where I live in Western Connecticut and where Terry lives in Montana. I welcome Dominic Paul Parker, Professor Parker at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, has published with his colleagues a new paper about wolves and deers. The paper is at the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America. In other words, peer-reviewed with Jennifer Grainer and Corbett Granger. I also welcome Terry Anderson of the Hoover Institution. Professor Parker is also at the Hoover Institution, and he specializes in agriculture and applied economics. The problem and the challenge. Professor, I begin with you. The problem is deer. How many deer across the United States? What can we count definitely today? These white-tailed giants who skip across in the morning before dawn. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and thanks for having me. Approximately 30, 35 million white-tailed deer across the U.S. In my state of Wisconsin, upwards of 1.6 million white-tailed deer. Lots of deer in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in your area, in Connecticut, of course. And this is up. This is staggering to me. This is up from only about 500,000 around the turn of the century. So around 1900, there were only 500,000 deer. Of course, there's three times as many now in the state of Wisconsin alone.
The paper published at PNAS is Wolves Make Roadways Safer, Generating Large Economic Returns to Predator Conservation. This is a wonder to explore. So what is the problem? Terry, I come to you because you've taught me in Montana, the wolves have gone through several versions of, are they a good thing? Are they a bad thing? Are they endangered? Are they protected? I believe they're no longer protected. Is that correct, Terry? Good evening to you.
Yes, good evening, John. Wolves, of course, were considered nothing more than varmint in the early settler days, not necessarily by Indians, but by the settlers who came here. And so in Yellowstone, for example, the federal government worked on a program to exterminate them by trapping them, poisoning them, shooting them. When they were finally gone, then the elk populations in Yellowstone mushroomed, just as Nick has described deer populations. But that had other consequences for the environment, namely aspens were going likely going extinct because elk ate so many. But the other conflict, of course, is that wolves don't just eat deer, they eat livestock. And so when they brought wolves back into Montana, in Yellowstone to start, now in Montana, Wyoming, the problem was that the wolves would also prey on livestock. And the I think, most enlightened environmentalists, especially a man named Hank Fisher, a real enviropreneur, as I call them, he offered to create a private fund to pay livestock owners for predation. And I think that comes to Nick's point about the value of wolves, not just for conservation, but how conservationists can help us live with the wolves. And that's really the issue. How do people survive, or how do wolves survive in an environment where they conflict with people? And that's what happens, especially if you hit one with your car.
Here comes the surprise in Professor Parker's paper. Professor, what is a DVC in Wisconsin? What does that represent?
Well, if you live in Wisconsin, you're well aware that vehicle animal collisions are common, and you'll see signs as you drive on the road or the freeway that will alert you to the risk of hitting a deer. So a DVC is a deer vehicle collision. And they are very common in my state of Wisconsin. There's upwards of 20,000 DVCs in the past year. causing about 500 injuries, 8 fatalities, and maybe 200 million in losses. But if you think about the entire United States, there is over 1 million deer vehicle collisions with about 29,000 human injuries, 200 human fatalities, and upwards of $10 billion in costs. And so I just threw some numbers at you. But this is quite personal. If you live in areas where deer are overabundant, certainly in parts of the Midwest, but the Northeast as well, you have friends and family members who have often hit multiple deer with their car. And this is a traumatic experience. Obviously, it's horrific for the deer. It's horrific for the humans in the cars. And these DVCs are all too frequent.
Once upon a time, I have a personal experience in Maine. I was driving the children in a van in the summertime, and two deer right in front of me. And I hit one, avoided the other one. I'm glad there wasn't a car coming in the other lane. But the damage to the vehicle was massive. Deer are a solid wall. I stopped and went back, fearful as the children were, that it was dead. No, it had just sprung off into the forest. I don't know what happened after that. Terry, do you have incidents like that in Montana? You have wide open spaces there. Can you see a deer coming at you?
Well, sometimes you can see them coming, but of course it's much harder at night, and night is when they're out doing their thing. A good friend of Nick's and mine recently was driving on the interstate highway in a totally open area, and a deer just popped out at midday, smashed into his vehicle. He was lucky to bring the vehicle to a halt with all the airbags deployed, totaled an SUV, and luckily didn't hurt him. But it's all too common here as well, even in the wide open spaces.
So we come to the problem, which is vehicular traffic, where deer roam routinely, forcefully. In this particular area there of Western Connecticut, they're indifferent to humans. The only thing they'll run from, and I report this to you, Professor, the only thing I've ever seen the deer run away from is a dog that couldn't possibly hurt them, a Springer Spaniel going across a landscape in the morning. Do deer fear dogs because they think they're wolves? Is there some memory of that?
I'll preface my answer and say that I'm not a professional ecologist. I have an interest in ecology, especially as it relates to economics. But we certainly know that deer, whether it's mule deer in the West or white-tailed deer in other parts of the country, have an instinctual fear of wolves. They have an instinctual fear of coyote. And that does seem to translate to an instinctual fear of dogs as well.
So let's go to what wolves are in Wisconsin. I love the fact that you have wolf counties and non-wolf counties. My notes say you have 29 wolf counties and 34 non-wolf counties. What has your study discovered about the wolf counties as compared to the non-wolf counties and deer?
So what we take advantage of in empirically is that wolves spread into Wisconsin. They also spread into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan from locations in northern Minnesota, and they spread in the 80s and 90s and the 2000s. And so a wolf county is a county that becomes colonized by wolves, and that happens it happens gradually over time as the wolves spread across the state, eventually inhabiting 29 of Wisconsin's 70 counties. So the wolf county is the one that wolves colonized. And what we did is we the wolves are radio collared. So we know with a fair amount of precision where they're located. And then we know where the DVCs, the deer vehicle collisions, are. And what we do is just observe, it's quite clear graphically, that once wolves colonize and establish themselves in a county, the rate of deer vehicle collisions goes way down. We estimate it goes down about 25% with the presence of wolves compared to a counterfactual non-wolf county that doesn't have wolves.
Terry, does that comport to your experience in Montana? You're in a wolf county, Terry. There are wolves everywhere. Are the deer in some fashion delimited in the damage that they do? I mean, do you think about that the wolves are helping you?
Well, I don't have data, as Nick does, on deer vehicle collisions. And because we have far fewer vehicles here, we probably have fewer incidences of deer vehicle collisions per mile driven. But what you do see here is that wolves have had a significant effect on elk populations. So the wolves are literally in my backyard. I have property that if you go just a little ways from us, 50 miles, you'd be in Yellowstone Park. So there are wolves in our backyard, and our backyard is forested. And I could take a picture right now of a small elk herd out in an open field where they spend their winter. And the reason they spend the winter there is they know out in that open field, they can see a wolf coming. And so it's really affected where the elk spend their time. And I wonder about the farmer who owns the field in front of me and has a crop of winter wheat under the snow that these elk are feeding on, how he feels about them. He probably sees them as a negative. So wolves, I don't know that they've had a big effect on deer vehicle collisions, but they've definitely had an effect on where elk are, and that affects agriculture in both crop ways as well as livestock ways.
I'm speaking with Terry Anderson and Professor Nick Parker, both of PERC, the Property and Environmental Research, both of the Hoover Institution, and Professor Parker's at PERC, the Property and Environmental Research Center. We're speaking of wolves and deers. They're not partners, but they have a relationship that has been distorted, I understand, from proscription against wolves. And when we come back, what is to be done about the landscape of fear? What does that mean? I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.